Monday, May 5th. The first reading from Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, accosted him, seized him, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses who testified, "This man never stops saying things against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him claim that this Jesus the Nazarene will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us." All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Haydock Commentary. The synagogue of freedmen is so named from those whose fathers had been made slaves under Pompey and the Romans, but who had again been restored to their liberty and had been made free. There were other synagogues for the Jews of Cyrene, of Alexandria, etc. No doubt but St. Stephen had converted many of them, and the chiefs of the synagogues, not being able to dispute with him, or to answer the spirit of wisdom which directed him, bribed witnesses who should say that they heard him speaking words of blasphemy against Moses and against God, against the law and the temple, that Jesus would destroy the temple. These accusations were forged, for the apostles themselves still frequented the temple, and Jesus came to fulfill the law as to its moral precepts. It was true that Jesus would destroy the place and change their traditions, yet they were false witnesses because they claimed that Stephen had made these assertions, which he had not, purposely to excite the Jews to rise up against him and put him to death. Besides, had Stephen spoken what was advanced against him, they would still have been false witnesses, for the words were in fact words of truth, which these suborned men called words of blasphemy. All in the council or Sanhedrin saw an extraordinary and charming brightness in the countenance of Stephen, which struck them with admiration and fear. His face shone with a wonderful brightness, an emblem of his interior perfection. In this he was like Moses, whose countenance was so bright that the Jews could not steadfastly behold it. By this the beholders had an opportunity of being converted, had they so wished, or were rendered inexcusable for their neglect. It is also a testimony of the great sanctity of the deacon. This same miracle is not recorded to have happened to any other but Moses and our Lord at his transfiguration, although this appearance, in an inferior degree, has been not unfrequently observed in the constant and cheerful countenance of the martyrs before their persecutors and of privileged saints whilst they were happily employed in their intimate communications with heaven. The Gospel from John chapter 6, verses 22 through 29. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." Haydock Commentary. Christ did not return an express answer to their words, but he replied to their thoughts, for they seemed to have put this question to him that by flattering him they might induce him to work another miracle similar to the former. But Christ answers them not to seek for their temporal prosperity, but for their eternal welfare. "The church is daily filled," says St. Augustine, "with those who come to petition for temporal advantages, that they may escape this calamity, obtain that advantage in their temporal concerns. But there is scarce one to be found who seeks for Christ and pays him his adoration through the pure love he bears him." When he says, "For on him the Father, God, has set his seal," the sense seems to be that Christ, having wrought so many miracles in his Father's name, the Father himself hath thereby given testimony in his favor, and witnessed, as it were, under his seal, that Jesus is his true Son, whom he sent into the world.